So we have readings today that I think are going to challenge all of us. They certainly challenge me. Last week we heard from the prophet Amos. We talked a little bit about how Amos was a prophet preaching during a time of great prosperity in the northern kingdom of Israel. And basically his job was to say to the king of Israel and to the people, because of how you have neglected the poor, God is going to destroy you. That's basically the message that Amos has to deliver, which of course is a very unpopular message. And so today we hear a continuation of that message. God says through the prophet Amos, "Woe to the complacent, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs and calves, listening to music. They drink wine from bowls, anoint themselves with the best oils, and yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph." And what does he mean by the collapse of Joseph? Well, he means the collapse of the people Israel, or the suffering of the people Israel. So he paints a picture of all these people who are living lives of luxury while there are so many who are suffering. And the people who are living these lives of luxury, and how does he describe them? Well, they're lying around comfortably. They're eating choice foods. They're not just drinking wine from cups, but from bowls, which sounds very nice to me, actually. But again, this is why these readings challenge me as well, that they're so content to have so many nice things, to live very comfortable lives, yet they ignore the suffering of the people around them. So this is why this is challenging for us, because we have so many of us are blessed with nice homes, plenty nice things, lots of comforts in our life. And so the question for us is how are we responding to the poor among us? And the poor, we don't just need to interpret in terms of the material poor. You know, we don't live in the Twin Cities, so we don't see people, we don't see homeless people every day, here at least. But we all know people who are poor in other ways. So that brings us today to today's gospel, which presents to us a situation that's largely like the situation of the that Amos is talking about. We have this rich man who, we hear, dines sumptuously each day in his home. It says that he wears purple clothing. Well, why are we given that detail? Well, it's because the dye that was used to make purple clothing was extremely expensive, so only the extremely wealthy were able to wear purple clothing. The senators in the Roman government were able to wear purple, and that was a sign of their nobility and high class, but nobody else was. So we get this sense that this rich man is very, very rich, but yet just outside his door, there's a poor man who doesn't have enough to eat. He longs to eat even of the scraps that fall from the rich man's table. So there's something that we notice immediately about today's gospel that I think is really interesting and really telling, because there are two characters in the story. There's the rich man we just talked about, and the poor man who, it seems, lives in the gutter outside of the rich man's home. But only one of them has a name, and it's not necessarily the one that we would expect to be named. So it's the poor man who has a name, Lazarus. And we aren't given the name of the rich man. He's just in the story, the rich man. So why is that other than what we would expect? Well, usually we know the names of rich and important people. professional athletes, movie stars, musicians, the CEO at our company, politicians. People we deem to be important, we usually know their names. But a lot of times, the people that we don't consider to be important, we don't know their names. We might see them every single day, but we don't take time to learn their name because they're not important to us. So what does it tell us that the poor person in today's story has a name while the rich person doesn't have a name? Well, doesn't it tell us that the poor person who goes unnoticed and uncared for by the rest of the world is known personally and cared for personally by God? I just want to repeat that. So doesn't this tell us that the poor person has a name, but the rich man doesn't? Doesn't this tell us that while the poor person goes unnoticed by the rich man and unnamed by the rich man, God knows his name? That he's known personally and cared for personally by God. In the Gospels, we get this sense that God actually prefers the poor. So we can give so many examples of this, but one example that came to me right away was the Beatitudes of Luke's Gospel. We heard these earlier this summer. So let me just read them. Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh." And then Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich. You have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep." So, again, we get this sense that for those of us who want to enjoy a comfortable life in this life and don't try to alleviate the sufferings of those who don't have comforts, our destinies are going to be flipped. And this is exactly what we see in the gospel. The rich man who is comfortable in this life, but who ignored the suffering of the person who is right beside him, has his destiny flipped after his life. Then he goes to a place of suffering, while the poor man who didn't have comforts in this life goes to the place of the blessed, or heaven. So I guess a couple things that I think we can take from this gospel that is very challenging, this first reading that's very challenging. You know, we can ask ourselves, how do we try to live this gospel? If we've been blessed, do we try to alleviate the sufferings of those who are poor? Do we expend energy to that? We all, and myself included, expend a lot of energy in trying to make life comfortable for ourselves. But the invitation is for us is to worry more about the needs of those who go without than trying to make our lives more comfortable. This is difficult. It's difficult for me. I'm preaching to myself. So we can ask ourselves, if we know that God prefers the poor, whom do we prefer? It also makes me think of the passage in Matthew's gospel, the end of Matthew 25. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats when Jesus gives us his vision of the last judgment. All of these souls are paraded before the king. And so then the king has some of them go to his right and he calls them the sheep, and then the other ones have to go to his left and he calls them the goats. And he says to the sheep, he says, "You who are blessed by my Father, come and inherit the good things that have been prepared for you. For I'm going to just make sure I have it here so I can say it right. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them in reply, whatever you did for one of these least, you did for me. And then the parable goes on. The one onto the goats, he says, you accursed, you go to a place of suffering, for I was hungry and you didn't give me food. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. And those people too say, well, we didn't see you hungry and thirsty. And then the king says to you, when you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. There's a great story about Cardinal George, who's the late Cardinal of Chicago. He's a great, one of the great American bishops. He was meeting with a group of very wealthy donors, and he said to all those wealthy people, he said, the poor need you to keep them out of poverty. And then he said to them, you need the poor to keep you out of hell. I mean, that's what the scriptures are saying. If we want to be blessed after our life, we have to worry less about padding our homes and padding our lives so that they're so comfortable, and to worry more about helping those who don't have those comforts. So I guess just a last thought. Obviously, hopefully the gospel changes our life, right? That's my prayer, is that every time I read the gospel and reflect on it, that I will act differently. But I guess another thing to consider is, if we know that God prefers the poor, which the scriptures seem to tell us he does, then shouldn't that change our perspective when we are poor or when we feel poor? Maybe it's material poverty that we experience. Maybe it's other forms of poverty. Maybe we're sick. Maybe we're suffering in another way. Maybe we just experience weakness all the time. I can relate to that. What if God prefers people who experience and knows their weakness and poverty? You know, we work really hard to avoid the experience of our weakness and poverty, but what if God has a special love for us when we experience our weakness and our poverty? So that's why I think there's a dual message here in the gospel. First of all, that we have to change the way that we act. We have to change the way that we live so that we take better care of those poor around us, and not just materially poor, but those who struggle and suffer in different ways. And when we find ourselves weak and struggling and poor, God wants us to know that he has a special love for us. That the less we're known in this world, the more we're known by him. And that should give all of us confidence, even as this gospel challenges us today.